Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, God's call to minister in his ways and means. When God called Ezekiel to minister to the Hebrew captives in Babylon, in Ezekiel chapter 1, 1 or 2, he was among the initial captives taken to Babylon with King Jehoiachin, captives who thought they were about to be returned to Judah. Thus, Ezekiel's message on their need to repent initially fell on deaf ears. Ezekiel thus needed a call from God to minister in God's ways and means in a supernatural ministry in his difficult assignment. And Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 to 10 gives it with invaluable insight and application for ministry today. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And he, that's the Lord, said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even to this very day. For they are impudent, or that would be disrespectful children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and let us dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, the scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it open before me, and it was written on the inside and the outside, and there was written there in lamentations and mourning and woe. Okay. It's interesting in this call that God had for Ezekiel, there were six major points that I found very, very interesting. First of all, Ezekiel was to minister by the Holy Spirit's power in view of his human limitations. In Ezekiel chapter 1, 1 and 2, in God's call for Ezekiel to minister as his prophet, the Lord addressed him as son of man. The term man is Adam, and it stressed Ezekiel's humanity opposite God's deity. And the term son of, remember the word of in Hebrew is understood, it's actually not written down, stressed Ezekiel's human relationships and his heredity. Both terms, that's son and man, in the context point to Ezekiel's human limitations, what needed to be circumvented if he were to have success in his superhuman task. Boy, this is an important lesson. We had a woman who is the secretary at Multnomah School of the Bible where I attended in Portland, Oregon, and she had traveled widely on foreign fields. The students at Multnomah had gone out throughout the world. And she said, from my evaluation, and she'd been in all the major continents and most of the nations of the world, she said, from my observation, the missionaries are dedicated, they're devoted, they love the Lord, but if there's one criticism, I would say they're not depending on the Lord enough. They need to depend on the Lord more. And so this is an extremely important lesson. Now, it's interesting, the Lord told him, son of man, stand up on your feet. Remember, he's flat on his face because the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord has been so overwhelming he can't stand. But the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, enters into him and he stands up. Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So when God then addressed Ezekiel as son of man and told him to stand on his feet that the Lord might speak with him, the Holy Spirit entered Ezekiel and put him on his feet, indicating the power by which he was to minister his supernatural ministry was that of the Holy Spirit. Got a passage I want to just briefly look at. in regards to this. This is so important. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul is about to be martyred. He tells us that in chapter 5. So he's on death row. And so he's leaving very important information to Timothy, who's going to have to go it alone without Paul. And notice what he says, verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou fan into flame, literally, the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the Spirit, that would be the Holy Spirit, of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be of me a prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. What's the power of God? The Holy Spirit's power. Suffer persecution with the Holy Spirit's power. Skip down to verse 14. That good thing, that's the good thing is the sound words that he's talking about in verse 13. But verse 14, that good thing or the sound words, which was committed unto thee, preserved by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Why we need that emphasized today in ministry all over the evangelical world. There's not enough dependence on the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of effort that's being put out in the power of the sin nature to try to serve the Lord and never work. We have to operate by means of the Holy Spirit's power. Secondly, Ezekiel was to minister by letting God make him credible before his spiritually hardened hearers. The Lord repeatedly described Ezekiel's hearers as being rebellious against the Lord, sinful, disrespectful, and stubborn. He does that in verses 3 through 5. Ezekiel was thus not going to be able to prove his credibility to his hearers. It's really something. If you're involved in ministry and you sense that those who are hearing you are not accepting your credibility or believe in the authority that God has behind you, don't try to prove it. It's a mistake, because if you try to prove it, you look suspect. Consequently, he was to rely on the Lord to produce in his own divinely effective way, the credibility Ezekiel needed before his hearers so that his ministry would become effective. Notice the last part of verse 5, yet shall the people know that there has been a prophet among them. God's going to say, I'm going to show them that you are a prophet of God. And the way he did it, we're going to find out. See, he had been predicting Jerusalem was going to fall, and they didn't believe him. When Jerusalem fell, then all of a sudden they realized, wait a minute, he told the truth. So then they started to listen up. And then they started to listen up, then he started directing them, all right, now, this is how we're going to handle the captivity, and here's the hope of getting back. But Ezekiel essentially had to wait for God to make him credible. Then Ezekiel was to minister by revering God above fearing his audience. In verse 6, you'll notice, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though their briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. So, Ezekiel was not to hear his words or looks that indicated their rejection of his ministry. That's not easy to do. There are sometimes when you minister, sometimes you'll actually have people scowl at you. I've been in situations like that, preaching from the pulpit, and they're just scowling. And you're just angry. And it's tough. But the way to resist fearing God's word, his hearers' words and looks, was to recall the awesome words and appearance of God in his call to put Ezekiel flat on his face. Back in chapter 1, verse 28, it's interesting. In the last part of the verse, Ezekiel says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard a voice, the one that spake. There's a Christian psychiatrist one time who said that he had discovered in his practice that fear of God purges a person from all other fears. It's something, the fear of God purges all other fears. What we need is reverence for the Lord, and that's what Ezekiel was supposed to do. He's going to be more afraid of God than he was of his hearers. Then Ezekiel was to minister by aiming only to obey the Lord, not to gain a positive response from his hearers. Notice verse 7. Thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. So since Ezekiel's audience was rebellious against the Lord, God directed him to focus only on ministering the words that God had given him to speak. This focus was to replace Ezekiel's seeking to produce a positive response from his hearers. Now, generally, you want to have a positive response, and you have to watch that you, when you're ministering and you're teaching, you do so in an ethical way so it's acceptable. But your goal is not the response. Your goal is to complete the assignment. The assignment is to give the truth. Let God worry about the response. God will handle the response. Ezekiel, verse 8, was to minister by being God's free man, independent of the godly, ungodly influence of his hearers. As a prophet to a spiritually calloused or hardened people, Ezekiel would face reactionary pressure from his hearers to yield to their ungodly views and influence instead of retaining his level of righteousness. That's tough, but as a pastor, I have faced this. I've had people take me aside and say, Pastor, you know, you really shouldn't be preaching that. What you should be doing is doing this, and you should be doing that. I've actually had them do that. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute. They're putting themselves in the place of Jesus Christ, because a man's role is a pastor to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you got someone telling me what I'm supposed to do, what I'm not supposed to do. And most of the criticism of that nature has come, believe it or not, from women, not men. Women will try to tell me, Pastor, you ought to be doing this or that. And I sit there, wow, wait a minute. Insubordination on a bunch of different levels. But what it is, it's a problem in relationship to the Lord. So Ezekiel was to resist yielding to his hearers' influence, being God's free man, separate in fellowship from his hearers because he focused on heeding what God had assigned him to do. Verse 8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be thou not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open my mouth and eat what I give thee. And then Ezekiel was to minister by accepting God's word as good, even if it was about negative judgment. The Lord directed Ezekiel to open his mouth and eat what God was about to give him. Ezekiel saw that God wanted to give him to eat the scroll of a book that was written on its inside and outside. Scrolls were normally written only on the inside part that was concealed by being rolled up, but this scroll was filled with the writing both on the inside and the outside, indicating that it contained the fullest extent of the will and the motivation of the Lord. Well, God's prophet then saw that the scroll's profuse writings were about lamentations and mourning and woe, the message of divine judgment for sin that was overdue to the sinful people of Judah. So, what the Lord wanted him to do in eating the book, that was a symbol of the fact, when you eat something, you make it a part of you so that you digest it. You view it as something that is good. So he wanted him to accept this as so good. He wanted him to eat the scroll with the words and make it a part of his system. So he was to accept as good God's negative message on judgment that he was about to deliver, making it a part of his very being as he ate and digested it. This rubs interminably against what happens in many evangelical circles today. Many pastors are tempted to preach only positive sermons, only that which makes people feel good. Don't preach the negative. Don't preach on judgment. But that's not what God said. God is appearing here in all his glory, and he's saying, Ezekiel, I want you to take this book. I want you to eat it. You make this part of your belief system. You accept it as good. This is good. This judgment is good. So to achieve success in a superhuman calling, Ezekiel was to minister in the Holy Spirit's power. Let God establish his credibility before others. Revere God and not fear his hearers. Aim to heed God, not gain a positive response. Be separate from his ungodly hearers so that he's not influenced by them. And accept God's word as good, though it even spoke of judgment. So may we apply God's leading of Ezekiel to succeed in superhuman assignments that the Lord gives us. Many years ago, I was preaching a sermon about in Acts, how the people came and they took their books, magic books and so forth, and they burned them up. And that's the way to get rid of them. And I remember preaching that sermon. It was in the first church that I pastored. And I remember as I was delivering that sermon wondering, I wonder if this is going anywhere because none of these people are practicing magic. None of these people are into witchcraft and anything. So talking about burning up articles of witchcraft, where's this sermon going to go? A couple weeks later, one of the men in our church, he was a rancher, and he said, remember that sermon you preached a couple of weeks ago on the burning of the books of magic and everything? And I said, yeah. I thought, oh, well, here comes the criticism. He said, because of that, I took my records out and built a great big bonfire, poured diesel fuel on it, and lit it and burned the whole thing up. I said, you what? He says, yep. I had a whole bunch of worldly music. And I felt that was wrong. It wasn't witchcraft, but it was wrong before the Lord. But I found out that that's the way to handle it. So he says, I took a big head of wood, put the records on there. He was a rancher, so he had a lot of diesel fuel. Poured diesel fuel out, lit it, and of course, a big smoky fire away went. And I was absolutely stunned. So I learned from that. Just because the message may be something that seems to be oblique or maybe on the negative side doesn't mean that God's not going to use it. This man destroyed hundreds of dollars worth of books, of records, and he was going to go out and buy some new records and new tapes and everything and start over a collection of Christian music. So I thought that was real good. Elroy was his name. So we need to follow in the example of Ezekiel.